The next morning we got back out onto the road, the wasteland greeting our hoofsteps like we were old friends. The rolling hills grew even more monotonous than before, and soon I found myself wishing for something, anything, to change. I decided that rather than continue to be bored, I'd flick on my radio and catch some news or maybe some music. The soft, lovely tones of Velvet Remedy echoed across our tiny group, giving us a drive to keep moving forward. After Velvet's song finished, the radio cut to the brisk voice of DJ Pawn 3.
Hello, Wasteland Kiddies. This is your Master of Ceremonies, DJ Pawn 3. It's time for some news. I've got reports of radar activity on the roads up north of Appaloosa. Remember, kiddies, when the raiders come calling, there ain't no shame in locking up your doors and hiding under your covers. Raiders don't want nothing to do with negotiations, they just want to rip your fucking heads off and use them for sick decorative schemes. No lies, my little ponies. I've also got good news from Manhattan. After a good long week of negotiations, the NCR and the Twilight Society are working together. Ten Ponies' doors are open to off-duty NCR soldiers looking for a good time, but they're still not open to the ghoulies. Speaking of the ghoulies, I've also got reports that the town of Duskhoof has had a change in management after a friendly little visit from our good old friend the Ministry Mayor. Apparently the mayor there was a real dunderhead. Did the Ministry Mayor take him out? No. The mayor tried to help the small town with a problem related to the feral ghouls and the mayor made it worse. The new mayor, a bad pony of all things, told one of the correspondents all about it. Good for you, Ministry Mayor, fighting the good fight and helping ponies everywhere. And now back to our music, kiddies. So, here's some Sweetie Belle, an old standby, 200 years in the making.
I snorted as the DJ's voice disappeared, replaced by the soft, ducklet tones of Sweetie's song. Violet raised an eyebrow. Something wrong? She said. I shrugged. I just think it's hilarious, I said. Every time she mentions my name, I get more and more praise that I really didn't deserve. I didn't really do anything at Duskhoof. You found dry rot, Patch said. That counts for something. Yeah, but they don't even mention you guys ever, I said. Kind of feels like you all get cast off to the side.
Ponies need heroes, Star, Nixie said as he looked past. A name to hold onto is like a candle in darkness. It gives light to those who need it. Rest assured, we know how much you appreciate our contributions.
I smiled softly. Thanks, I said, glancing down at my pipbuck. I groaned. Geez, just how far is Ponyville anyways?
It's fairly out of the way, the Hellhound replied. From Manhattan, at least. We'll know we are close when we make our way into the valley proper.
I see. Tell me about Nixie's. What was your home like? I said, looking over at the canine. Nixie's chuckled.
My home was decrepit when we first came to it. But over time, the sins of the place's past ownership were washed away, replaced by the care of my kind. We've never truly had a home to call our own since the end of the Great War.
Nixie's explained.
But we cared for it just the same.
Ponyville was where the Ministry Mayors were from, I said blankly. That and its proximity to the Everfree Forest makes me wonder what kind of dark and terrible secrets are still held under its exterior.
Nixie's nodded again and silence fell over us again as we continued forward. My mind took hold of one particular Ministry Mayor. Canterlot may have been where Twilight Sparkle had been born, but Ponyville was her home. It was where she met the other elements of Harmony, where once the only real disaster was worrying about who got an extra ticket to the Grand Galloping Gala. How I longed for such a day to come, where my only worries were small and insignificant. As long as Spark and Twilight fought for dominance, there were no small worries. I knew that I needed to see this through to the very end. Hours upon hours passed, and we finally made our first break over the main ridge that looked down into the valley that Ponyville rested in. The sun blazed brilliantly over our heads, but its brilliance could not touch the wild and untamed lands that lay before us. The Everfree Forest loomed in the distance, looking larger and more threatening with every passing hoofstep. The path gently began to slope downwards the more we walked forward. Eventually, the road was so rough and rocky that I had to float the cart-carrying Patch until we could set it back down on an even surface.
Nixies?
I said, getting the Hellhound's attention. Have you ever been there? I pointed at the Everfree in the distance.
I have not, but many of my kind have ventured into the wild forest for food and supplies, he said. The stories, however, there are things in that forest that have festered unchecked over the course of centuries.
I grimaced. And somewhere out there is Spark and Lucky. Is Lucky all right? I certainly hope so, I thought as I trudged forward.
Within the hour we found ourselves stepping off the final sloping hill and onto somewhat level ground. The soil had turned to muck and we were surrounded by bubbling pools of brownish water. I looked up at the sky, seeing that it was being partially obscured by the dying willow trees that spouted up all around us. It was like we'd passed into another world.
Anypony else finding this place just a bit creepy? Patch said, pulling Parabellum out and holding it close to her chest.
We still couldn't lower the cart for fear of it sinking on us.
You and me both, sister, Lilith said as she landed next to us. Too much foliage to fly. I hate these kinds of places.
I chuckled nervously.
Give me a second, guys, Sunshine said, kneeling next to one of the trees. I'm going to see if I can figure out a way out of this place.
Her horn lit, connecting a line of green energy at the tree. After several minutes of silence, she gasped softly and broke the connection.
What is it, Sunshine? I said, stepping up next to her. This place, it's a lot bigger than it looks, she said. And it's hungry. If we keep moving forward, we should get out, but every pony needs to stick together. It's too easy to get lost, or worse. All right, you heard her, folks, I said. Pair up with some pony who has a pip back. If we get separated, use the tagging feature to lock onto another group.
The others nodded, moving into pairs. As expected, Steeljack stayed close to Patch while Lilith formed up next to me. Violet moved closer to Sunshine, leaving only Nixies. I grimaced, but the Hellhound lifted a paw and waved it off.
Even in this environment, I can smell all of you quite clearly, he said. Do not worry for me.
I sighed, nodding.
All right, then, let's keep moving. I don't think we'd want to be here after dark, I said, my eyes moving to the sky above and trying to keep in mind where the sun was.
I couldn't quite tell with the haze that seemed to permeate this entire place. Regardless, we moved forward, keeping an eye on our surroundings as we made our way deeper into the swampy area. The buzz of tiny insects filled the very air, and more than once or twice I thought I saw something shadowy zip in and out of the dead trees. It got darker and darker the further we journeyed, making me wonder if we would end up here at night after all. Something roared in the distance, jolting me out of my thoughts. Not only was this place dark and possibly dangerous, but something was out there. I shifted, lifting Stargazer out of its harness.
You hear that too?
Lilith said quietly from next to me. I nodded.
What do you think it is?
I don't know, but I don't like it, I said, turning back to look at Violet.
When I did, she was gone. Violet and the others, they were gone. Lilith grimaced.
Violet, Steeljack, Nixies, where are they? They were just here a second ago, the Black Mare said. They wouldn't have let us wander off by ourselves, right? Violet wouldn't have, neither would Steeljack, I said, circling around.
I looked in all directions, seeing nothing but swampland and dead willow trees.
Violet!
I called into the darkness. I got a roar in the void as a reply.
Might want to keep it down, Star, Lilith said. Remember the tagging feature on your pipbuck? Let's toss Violet's tag in and see where she's at.
I nodded, lifting my leg to look at my pipbuck. The screen was fuzzy and blinking in and out.
That's odd, I said. These things are supposed to be built to last. Why is it going on the fritz?
I checked my EFS, which appeared to be working normally, other than the fact that it showed a very large red dot directly behind us. A rumbling sound started underneath our hoofs. My eyes widened.
Run! Run!
My feet started to move as Lilith galloped next to me, her expression frantic.
What are we running from?
She asked. I didn't get a chance to answer before the rumbling sound got close enough that it became the sound of trees cracking and falling over. I chanced to glance back, seeing a massive indistinct form charging through the fog. Several sets of green eyes hovered above the form.
Zed!
I shouted as the form broke through the final line of trees that allowed us to finally see what was chasing us.
The creature was large and scaled with two powerfully built hind legs and a spiked tail that whipped back and forth in a frenzy. It had no arms, but it didn't need them as its entire body turned into five very long necks, each one topped with a scaled draconic head. Each head bore a set of green eyes that gloomed unnaturally in the dim light of the bog, and each one's mouths forced with green radioactive sludge.
Shit, what the hell is that thing?
Lilith cried out as we made a mad turn to the right to try and throw off the scaled beast. I racked my brain, trying to remember what it was. I knew I had seen it somewhere in one of those books at Fort Knowledge. The beast roared again, spitting some of its frothing sludge our way. It struck the ground behind us, sizzling as it sank into the muddy ground. I realized just what this beast was as it got closer and closer to catching up with us.
It's a Hydra!
I called back to my Pegasus friend.
We need to lose it somehow. What if we separate?
Lilith shouted. I grimaced as my hoofs continued to carry me forward. One of the Hydra's heads reached down and snapped, nearly catching my tail in its jaws.
Too risky, I exclaimed. We must have walked right into its territory. If we can tire it out, then it'll stop chasing us.
I sort of hoped that I was right about that last part. The book I remember seeing the Hydra in was a little vague and didn't really have any pointers on fighting this thing.
Star, I don't think that's going to help us,
Lilith said. I could feel the hot breath of the creature already. Lilith snarled, flaring her wings and taking to the sky. Two of the Hydra's heads shot up immediately to snap at her, a slash from the mare's wicked wing blades leaving them with bloody snouts for their efforts. Despite the injury, however, they simply roared in response. The body began to slow down, its attention split between the target in the sky and the one on the ground. I found that I was gaining ground as Lilith sought in between the trees to escape the attacks from the monster. I finally stopped and turned about, lifting Stargazer up and aiming it at one of the remaining three heads. I accessed ESATS, the spell firing up and dropping almost like it wasn't working either. I grimaced as I leapt back to avoid more sludge that came out of the monster's mouths.
Lilith, I can't use my targeting spell,
I called up to the airborne mare.
I'm gonna try something else. You keep it occupied if you can.
Lilith saluted and zoomed straight at one of the heads of the beast. She extended her wing blades, slashing at its neck fiercely. Green blood spurted from where she struck, but again her attack didn't seem to slow down the creature. I roared, flaring my horn and accessing my magic to cast a shield spell around myself right as another of the heads slammed into it. The Hydra shook the head, blinking. I lifted Stargazer and pulled the trigger manually, unleashing a spurt of fire directly into the dazed head. The bullets pummeled the head into a bloody pulp, causing it to shriek in pain. It recoiled, lifting the head away as I finished firing. The head that I had shot waved about limply, causing the other four to glare directly at me.
Shit,
I said as all four heads lunged down at my location. I leapt back, spraying away wildly with Stargazer. Only a few shots managed to land, forcing the heads to recoil. The Hydra's heads collectively growled as the heads that I had blown to bits fell forward, striking the ground with a momentous crash. I cheered loudly.
That's right, Lilith, hit it!
On it!
Lilith shouted, circling about as the bitch unwound itself from her power armor. The missile launcher whined loudly as the missile circled into its launcher bay. The powerful projectile surged forth, seeking along until it slammed home right into the monster's back. It exploded, showering the immediate area with gore and pieces of Hydra. The beast lay, unmoving. I groaned, using my magic to peel a bit of what I thought might have been intestine off my head.
That was gross,
I said as Lilith landed next to me.
You're right,
she said. I nodded.
A little soaked, but otherwise okay,
I said.
I only hope the others haven't run into anything similar out there.
I glanced at my pipback again. It was still flickering in and out.
And with this thing still acting up, I'm not sure where the hell we're going.
I'll try and fly up and see if I can see anything,
Lilith said. I put up a hoof, stopping her.
No, if we get separated too, we'll be in greater danger,
I said.
No, we need to keep moving forward.
I looked about all around us.
Whichever way that is.
Lilith grimaced.
You know, that seemed a little too easy, she said. That thing, the Hydra or whatever you called it. Yeah, you're right about that, I replied. I mean, from what I read on them, hydras are pretty tough beasts to kill. They have a tough set of scales, and many of them show extreme regenerative properties.
I blinked at the last statement, my eyes drifting back to the form of the creature behind us. A crackling green energy arced across the body of the monster, its blood creeping back into the creature as one of the heads that we destroyed started to twitch.
So, regenerative properties?
Lilith said. I gulped loudly.
Run! I said. Run!
We started galloping away from the monster as one of its head awoke. It glanced over at us and roared loudly. Its body, however, was still trying to manage the four heads which hadn't reanimated yet. Within several moments we managed to lose sight of the monster, charging through the bog like mad ponies on a mission. We found ourselves in a small clearing, an open space in the center of a mucky empire. We heard the Hydra roar in the distance, but it was far off. Either we'd managed to outrun it, or it had decided that coming after us again wasn't worth the effort. I sighed.
I think we lost it, I said, glancing about the clearing. Where are we? It seems like this bog just goes on forever. It looks like some sort of break in the trees. But in the middle of the swamp? It doesn't make any sense, Lilith said, grimacing.
She started to move forward, but stopped cold in her tracks. Her ears perked up.
What is it? I asked quietly. Something's not right, she said.
She never got a chance to finish. A blur shot across the clearing, catching Lilith and slamming hard into her. Lilith shot back into the tree line, disappearing into nothingness. I blinked.
Lilith!
I shouted.
She isn't going to interfere with us now, a voice said.
I turned towards the center of the clearing. Standing there was an alicorn, but it wasn't like any other alicorn I'd ever seen. The mare had a fierce yellow coat with a bright pink-yellow mane and tail. Her body looked unnatural, smooth and glossy like a child's toy. A bright pink gem sat in her chest. Her wings spread out aggressively as she regarded me with flat pink eyes.
Who are you?
I asked.
And what did you do with Lilith?
The alicorn closed her eyes for a moment. The sound of crashing and roaring sounded from behind her. My eyes widened as the Hydra came rushing out into the clearing. It stomped towards the alicorn, snarling and snapping. The alicorn lifted a hoof, turning about and stopping the Hydra cold in its tracks. The alicorn said something, her horn glowing. The Hydra's body imploded, spraying gore all over the clearing. A sharp grin covered the yellow alicorn's face as gore rolled off of her, leaving no trace on her shiny surface.
I am the element of kindness, she said.
My eyes went wide.
An element?
I thought.
Also, you may call me by my true name. Cruelty.
Her grin turned into a frown.
As for your friend, I merely sent her to join the rest of your little troupe. I'm not sure how she escaped me the first time, but I remedied that mistake. Where are they?
I said. Cruelty chuckled.
They are beyond this clearing, outside the pocket dimension I created for us, she said, glancing back at the ruined body of the Hydra. I had so hoped that my little pet would have been able to kill you, but you are just too crafty, aren't you? You sent the Hydra?
I said, glaring at the alicorn.
What do you want with me? You woke us up, Radiant Star. The elements,
Cruelty said.
Spark knew that you did it. She sought us out after the Chaos Spirit hit her shard. We belong to her now. We follow her will. So, what, you want to kill me? Is that it?
I challenged.
Sorry, sister, I've got a date with magic and I'm a bit late as it stands. So, how's about you turn away and leave before I give you a reason to?
Cruelty grinned widely, her soulless eyes trained on me.
I see now why Spark wanted your body so badly. You are a spirited host, she said. You know, I once opposed her scheme to be immortal, but now I can see that she was right. Ponies, they created this filthy wasteland. They made a grave for everyone, pony and zebra alike. Spark's plans for a new world order will stop all of it. Kindness will rule the world again. For that, I will gladly be cruel. So yes, Radiant Star, I'm here to kill you.
I grimaced. I knew that this mare had a strength beyond any concept of normal. I had just watched her kill a hydra without any remorse and with a mere burst of her horn. How in the hell was I expected to beat such a powerful being? I thought back to what Twilight had said about the elements. In retrospect, I probably should have trained my magic a little better on the road.
I'm not planning on just laying down and dying, I said, igniting my horn and lifting Stargazer out of its harness. You'll find I'm very hard to kill.
We shall see, Cruelty said calmly, flaring her wings.
Magic flowed from her horn, seeping into the ground around us. Vines sprouted from the mucky earth, complete with spiny protrusions covering them. They waved in the air as Cruelty grinned evilly.
If I were you, I'd run.
One of the vines turned about in the air and flew at me, intent on piercing me with its thorns. I yelped, leaping to the side as the appendage struck the ground, leaving a gaping hole the size of my leg in the earth.
Shit!
I shouted frantically, jumping back as another vine lashed out. I threw up my alicorn shield, hoping that it would hold. The vine smacked into it fiercely enough that it actually forced me back more. I grimaced. Cruelty merely stood there, unmoving.
She doesn't need to move, I thought. She's got her own little army of vines. There's no opening. How in the hell do I beat some pony who doesn't have an opening?
I needed my friends, but based on what the corrupt element had said, she had managed to separate all of us. I sighed, making my decision. I needed to run. I flapped my wings, turning tail and heading towards the edge of the clearing.
Oh, finally going to run? That won't do you any good.
Cruelty scoffed. Her horn flared, teleporting her across the clearing in front of me. I roared, ready to use Stargazer as a bludgeon to beat the ever-living snot out of her before I stopped dead. Cruelty lifted her head and widened her eyes, those soulless eyes, and stared at me. I realized that my hoofs, my wings, my neck, they all wouldn't move. Stargazer fell out of the air and hit the ground, landing hard next to me. My magic wouldn't function. I could do nothing but stare back into the mare's dead eyes.
What did you...
I tried to say before my mouth clamped up too. Cruelty grinned, keeping her stare trained on me.
Such a poor defenseless little pony. She has no friends, no pony, no pony who truly loves her. She's nothing more than a shell that will house the element of magic.
She said calmly, stepping towards me.
What in the hell is she talking about?
I thought.
I thought she wanted to kill me.
As if she had read my mind, Cruelty gave a little smirk.
Oh, I am going to kill you, Radiant Star. I'm going to rend your very soul from your body. You will not even exist when I am done with you, if you ever existed in the first place.
I couldn't move, could barely breathe through my nose. My eyes would not move from her stony eyes. Cruelty stepped closer and closer. I couldn't do a single thing to stop her. Then a black blur appeared out of nowhere, slamming hard into Cruelty's body and sending her reeling across a clearing. I blinked, finding myself able to move again. I quickly picked up Stargazer and spun about. Lilith appeared on the other side of the fallen alicorn, huffing and panting. The vines hung limply, almost as if they had no life without their mistress controlling them.
You messed with the wrong bitch, bitch!
She roared, opening her wings and flaring her blades. Cruelty pushed herself off the ground. I noticed that she was oozing some sort of vicious liquid from her neck where Lilith had struck.
I thought I was rid of you, the alicorn said calmly. I shall have to work harder this time.
Her horn glowed fiercely, the magic in the air turning its attention to her wounds. Within mere seconds, they sealed up.
Lilith!
I shouted.
Don't look into her eyes, she can paralyze you with them.
Lilith grimaced, lowering her visor on her power armor. She charged forward, using her wings to propel herself at amazing speeds. Cruelty merely grinned, lifting a hoof. My eyes widened.
No!
Cruelty looked over at me and smirked as she let her horn loose, sending a bolt of yellow magic at my Pegasus friend. It struck, sending Lilith crumpling to the ground. The black mare groaned loudly as she tried to get up.
It is inevitable, the yellow alicorn said. I am the master of pain. You shall feel pain like you have never felt before for interfering. No!
I shouted, speeding across the clearing as I brought Stargazer across the mare's face, knocking her back.
You will not harm her!
Cruelty stared as I dropped my eyes to her hoofs.
Ah, you're learning, she said. Yes, look at my hoofs, pathetic wretch that you are. I am a goddess of harmony and you will learn your place.
I growled under my breath.
You are not a goddess, I snarled.
Cruelty's ears perked.
What was that?
She asked.
I said, you're not a goddess,
I retorted, lifting my eyes and meeting her gaze. I felt the stare take hold again, but not for long. I muscled through it with images of my friends, of Nixies and Steeljack playing chess, of Patch smiling radiantly under a glowing moon, with Violet's lovely eyes. Cruelty's paralyzing stare crumbled under the force of friendship. I had to, for Lilith.
You're nothing but an idea, your kindness for Luna's sake. Your powers lie in being kind to ponies, not cruel. Don't you see that? Ah, but ponies are not kind, Radiant Star. They are cruel, vicious little beasts who must be tended as such.
Cruelty replied.
They will serve us. They will all serve us. We will rebuild this world in our glorious image and the ponies of the wasteland will know the true peace of servitude. No, I will not let you, I struggled to say. I will stop you, I will stop Spark, and I will show you how good ponykind can be. You jest,
Cruelty said, grinning viciously.
You will die and your body will be repurposed for a new role. The role of queen, of empress, of goddess.
My attention turned to Stargazer and I smiled, sending a beautiful jolt of magic towards it.
No, I said simply. I will not.
I aimed Stargazer and brought up Shining Armor's shield spell. The purple barrier encased me, and only me. I needed to hope that I was correct in my assumption. I accessed ESATS as soon as the shield went up, sending time spiraling to a crawl. Queuing up as many shots as I could, I aimed not for the mare's body or head, but for the gems sitting on her chest. When ESATS fell, I felt Stargazer whip around and begin firing, every bullet striking its target with unerring accuracy. Cruelty fell back under the blow of the blast of gunfire, the gem sparking and arcing with energy with each new bullet that hit it. Finally, the chart could no longer handle the force and exploded, sending both myself and Cruelty flying away from each other. I landed with a thud on the mucky ground, groaning as I pushed myself up. A sharp pain lanced through my back leg. I glanced back, seeing a bit of bone sticking out.
Fuck,
I said, trying to stand. It was hard on three legs, but I managed. Floating out a healing potion, I quickly downed it and trudged over to where Lilith was laying. The Pegasus had sat up on her own, her power armor helmet retracting.
What the hell was that?
She said. I looked past her to where Cruelty had been blasted. Her body was gone, completely. Nothing remained in its place except for a pink gem chart. After a few moments, the chart turned from pink to purple and something in my saddlebag began to get really hot. I pulled it open, revealing a brightly shining memory orb. Twilight's memory orb from the original six was blazing, a line of energy arcing out from it to connect to the chart on the ground. The chart floated in the air before speeding across the clearing and reuniting with the other. The Twilight orb went dark and cool immediately. I blinked.
I have no idea, I said. But I'm guessing the chart was powering her body somehow. If that's the case, where is she? Where's her body?
Lilith said. I shrugged.
I don't know, but I have a feeling that she isn't done with me yet, I said.
A rustling in the leaves caught our attention. I turned about on my bad leg and grimaced with pain as I brought up Stargazer. At the end of the clearing appeared several ponies and a hellhound, ponies I thought I'd never see again. They were down one cart with Patch walking next to Steeljack.
They're over here, I heard Violet shout. Lilith, Star!
My laugh galloped full force up to us, her eyes catching my back leg.
Star, you're hurt. Sit down right this instant.
I gulped, complying with my mare friend turned nurse. Within moments she was casting her healing spell, using it to try and ease my pain. She began to work figurative magic along with her literal magic, using a combination of her spell and bandages to wrap the break. She jabbed my rump with a syringe of Medex, dulling the pain instantly.
Are you guys all right?
Patch said as she sat down with us. I nodded silently.
What happened to you guys?
Lilith said.
We got separated somehow.
We got separated from the others too, Patch said. And then my stupid cart got stuck in the mud and we couldn't move it.
We couldn't even use our pipbacks to communicate or tag,
Steeljack said.
We were lucky enough that Nixie's ended up with us.
It didn't help that I couldn't smell any of the others, Nixie's chimed in.
We are still not sure how, but our pipbacks wouldn't work at all until just a few moments ago, Violet said.
It was cruelty, I said softly.
Violet cocked her head.
Cruelty?
She said. I nodded.
The corrupted element of kindness,
I explained. I told the others about the Hydra, about meeting the Alicorn who had attacked us, and how we managed to defeat her. Violet looked dazed when I was done.
Star, that's insane, she said. I don't even know what to say.
If the corrupted elements are this strong, we should seek to avoid them at all costs,
Nixie said as he returned to the circle.
Thankfully, just outside of this clearing is the pass we seek. We have a few hours to go to make it to Ponyville.
Oh no, we are camping right here until the morning, Violet said firmly. Star's in no condition to move right now and we are all pretty tired. Besides, this is an open clearing. We can set up defenses in case anything comes in the night and we'll each take a watch. I'm with Violet, I said, wincing as I shuffled to lay down. This still hurts like a mother.
I'll take first watch, Steeljack said.
I groaned, resting my head against Violet while the others made some semblance of a camp. Steeljack sat by himself off to the side, keeping an eye on the bark.
Oh, you big baby, she said, chuckling. It's not that bad. I gave you some medics.
But it really hurts,
I whined, batting my eyes at my mare friend. She gave me a dead stare. I winked, giving her a little smile.
Okay, I lied. It's not that bad. I should be right as rain by tomorrow.
Good, she replied, giving me a kiss on my muzzle. 'Cause you're not getting anything fun, not tonight. We're too dirty.
Oh, I know you're dirty,
I quipped before breaking out into chuckles.
Sorry, that was bad.
It's all right. I think the Maddox is making you a little loopy is all, Violet said.
But we really are pretty dirty. It's muddy out here.
I glanced down at my coat. It was icky, muddy, and matted against my skin. I sighed.
Yeah, all right. I could really use a shower or a hosing off, I said. I guess we should get some sleep. Good night, Star.
I awoke feeling better than I had the previous night, pushing myself up to four sound hoofs. The first thing I noticed was that Violet was already up, having taken her watch last. I looked back at my leg, noticing that it looked a gazillion times better. Every pony else was working on packing up camp. I latched up Stargazer to its harness and pulled on my bags.
Ready to go?
Violet said. I nodded.
Let's go, I said. I don't want to spend any more time in this place than I have to.
Violet grinned widely. We started back into the bark, passing out of the clearing and forward. Nixie's was right about one thing. Within a half hour, we exited out of the bark and back into the valley proper. A gentle fog had settled into the valley, drifting off from the swamplands behind us. Another 20 minutes passed, and we found ourselves on a ridge overlooking the hamlet of Ponyville.
Home,
Nixie said as he looked down the ridge at the tiny town. The hellhound smiled toothily. I trotted up next to him and placed a hoof on his shoulder.
Are you ready for this?
I said. Nixie nodded. I smiled softly.
Good, let's go then.
I moved to turn around, hearing a series of snarls surrounding us. Several large hulking forms appeared in the trees, yellow eyes piercing the forest. One of them jumped out, growling. It was another hellhound. I grimaced, lifting out Stargazer as the beast lunged forward. It stopped short of me, brandishing its deadly claws. Three more hellhounds appeared on the ridge, snapping and howling. Violet huddled next to me while Steeljack sat next to Pat protectively. Lilith flared her wings, getting ready to fight while Sunshine's horn started to glow.
Stop!
Nixie shouted. The other hellhounds stopped cold in their tracks. One of them grunted, his yellow eyes scanning the other canine. He sniffed the air, grinning widely.
Nixies,
the hellhound said.
Is that you? Spot,
Nixie said softly.
You're looking well. We thought you were dead, the burly canine replied.
Nixis grinned.
I had a little help, he said, motioning to me and the others. Spot, these are my friends. Ponies, Spot said. You're friends with ponies. Hellhounds don't make friends with ponies. Ponies attack hellhounds.
I've never attacked a hellhound, I said.
Spot snarled, cutting me off. He returned his attention to Nixie's.
Spot, they're friends. Trust me, Nixie said. Star here helped me escape from some very nasty minotaur slavers.
Spot glared at me.
Is that true?
He snorted. I nodded.
Pony saved Nixie's.
I did. Nixie's has been a good friend of ours, I said softly. Believe me, we mean you no harm. We are only looking for a place to stay and some supplies, and then we'll be out of your hair.
Spot looked back at his hellhounds and grunted a few words to them I couldn't understand. They turned back and nodded in unison.
If Nixie says that Pony is good, then Pony is good. Nixie's a smart hound, knows many things,
Spot said.
Spot wants you, Pony. Village not so nice to Pony. We take you to see Elder.
I smiled, nodding. Spot lifted a paw and motioned for us to follow him and his entourage. We started down the ridge, coming ever closer to the town of Ponyville. As we passed across the ridge into the tiny hamlet, I noticed that there was no lack of life in this corner of the wasteland. The hellhounds had turned Ponyville into their own village, the canine creatures milling about like a pony might on a good day. There were several guards posted on the outer reaches of the town, letting us through with a snarl. The shops lining the main square had been turned mostly into places of weapon-making and smithing. Hellhounds worked grimly at carved anvils and forges, piecing together and maintaining various armaments. They gave our group dirty looks as we walked by, followed by surprise at seeing Nixie's.
Lovely place you got here, I said quietly as we passed by what looked like the old Ponyville school.
A few young hellhounds played on the playground outside of it, watched over by an elderly female canine. She glared at us.
It is home, Nixie said. A home I have not seen in a very long time. Home is not same place since you left, Spot said. Ponies not trusted. Ponies attack us. Bad ponies.
Bad ponies? I asked. What kind of bad ponies?
Ponies with guns, numbers. They think they own town,
Spot replied. Nixie's grunted a few words in a language I'd never heard him speak before. Spot responded in the same guttural, choppy tongue. Nixie's looked to me and sighed.
Raiders, he said. They've been attacking the village recently. It has not left the others with any trust in pony kind.
I grimaced.
I wish we could help, Spot. I truly do, I said. But we're not going to stay here long enough. We just need some supplies and then we'll be gone.
We found ourselves on a path leading towards a very familiar place, at least to me. The Books and Branches library towered over the rest of the town, despite the fact that it was mostly dead and burned. Many of the treehouse branches were broken off or otherwise shriveled and black. I gasped softly.
Elder inside, Spot said. She will see you, Pony. Only big pony with pointy horn. Others stay.
I glanced over at the hellhound.
Only me?
I asked. Spot nodded. I looked at Nixie's. He merely nodded as well, motioning for me to go up to the old library. I trotted up to the door like I had so many times in my visits to Twilight's place. I was amazed at how eerily similar the two were. I pushed open the door and entered. The inside of the Books and Branches was no better than the outside. Burnt ash and dried blood stained the hardwood flooring in the center of the building. Bookshelves that had once stood proudly in rows leaned against each other, the books they held now all gone.
Hello?
I called out. There was no pony, nobody around. I looked down at the bookshelves, grimacing. There had once been a place of knowledge here. Now, nothing. A scratching noise caught my attention and my ears perked up. Standing at the top of the stairs was an old, white female hellhound. She narrowed her yellow eyes at me before smiling toothily.
Well, what do we have here?
she said softly.
A pony! Not every day one of your kind is allowed in our village.
She loped down the stairs, stopping in front of me.
To what do I owe the pleasure of your company, pony?
My name is Radiant Star, I said. My friends and I, we are on a journey and passing through. We could use some supplies and some directions if you would be so kind.
So eloquent you are, pony,
the old hellhound said.
So much more eloquent than those swine that have attacked us recently.
Thank you, I owe that to a mutual friend of ours, I said.
The female raised an eyebrow.
Mutual friend, she said.
I smiled softly.
Yes, a hellhound by the name of Nixies, I replied.
The female hellhound's eyes widened.
Nixies is here, she said.
I nodded.
That's incredible news. I had feared he was long dead. I'm Avira, the new mayor of this town. Nixies was a close friend of mine. Wherever did you find him?
Tickercold, I said. He was a slave to a group called the Cult of Iron Will. He is a close friend of mine as well. He has helped me through numerous hard times.
You saved him then. That makes you a friend of the hounds, Miss Star,
Avira said.
You said you needed supplies, yes? And a place to stay? Directions? Where do you plan on going?
I narrowed my gaze at the elderly hellhound glancing past her out the window at the place beyond. The forest loomed over all of Ponyville, an unnatural darkness covering every inch of the damp place. I grimaced, meeting Avira's eyes once more.
The Everfree Forest.
Footnotes. Radiant Star, maximum level reached. Violet Iris, level up. Patch, level up. Steeljack, level up. Lilith, level up.